Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It is 12:34 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Roost Chris is open for takeout and delivery through DoorDash. Maggie Taylor and Chef Eltoff will take care of you at Roost Chris. Open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. Roost Chris Steakhouse, it's the greatest steak you've ever had. The Chiseler has reached us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, the Chiseler out of Vegas. Yo, Bob, as a Timmy tough guy, loved the old school line brawl last night at MSG. Leave the enforcers in the game. Any chance the New York Rangers sign Louis DeBrusque on a one-day contract versus future Washington Capitals game? Weeksy head into New York in the new president's role? Question mark. They say you were, could have been a stand-in for Rocky Balboa back in the day, but not Colonel Sanders circa 86, 87. Any truth? That one comes to us from the Chiseler. I can neither confirm nor deny those perspectives. And speaking of perspectives, here we go. JJ has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. I love Zach Cassian, but if you can move his contract this summer, you absolutely do it. He hasn't been bringing enough to earn the money. Hopefully he brings it in playoffs and makes it an easier decision. That's JJ's perspective. The Fergler has texted the show. Wow, this Cassian BS again, Bob. Do hypocritical Oilers fans forget before we had Cassian and Patrick Maroon, Taylor Hall getting runner over on a nightly basis? Why do you think Leon and Connor take less hits? It's because the Oilers have Cassian and a nurse. Bob, I could see why Pittsburgh would want Cassian. Look at Brian Burke's comments on your show about him. That one comes to us from the Fergler. You can text us at any time. There you go. All right, here we go. Let's get to it. We're going to bring aboard Louis DeBrusque. He is our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Louis knows something about getting started right off the opening faceoff and dropping the gloves. He did it in back-to-back games against Marty McSorley. One of those fights, Louis, lasted 2 minutes and 14 seconds. You must have been exhausted. What were you thinking last night watching the start of the Washington game against the Rangers?
Well, it certainly brought some flashbacks back to the I don't know if you want to call them the good old days, but certainly the mean old days, that's for sure. But you know what? I certainly didn't expect a response. There's no question about that. I thought there was going to be a response by the Rangers. There certainly was. I don't think I expected that much of a response. But you know what? Listen, that's two of their key players that were roughed up by Tom Wilson. Panarin was out of the game, potentially out for the rest of the season, from what I understand. And you just knew that it was going to boil over. $5,000 fine for Tom Wilson, a guy that's, you know, let's face it, he's played on that line pretty much his entire career. They didn't like it. They voiced their opinion, and they backed it up. So for me, it is what it is. You know what? I expected that. I have no problem with it. The Buchnevich cross-check at the end of the game certainly will be probably looked at in a situation where a wrong doesn't right a wrong, but That's also the guy that was at the bottom of the pile that Tom Wilson cross-checked in the back of the neck and then punched him in the head when he was down. I mean, he's going to eventually stick up for himself, and that's how he felt he needed to do that. So, listen, for me, I think the concern for me is obviously there's a disconnect between what the Department of Player Safety sees as a fine and not a suspension, and what the players in the National Hockey League see as a fine and a suspension. And especially when we're talking about a player that's kind of been in the limelight before quite a few times about this kind of stuff. I think that's really right now the root of this evil and what everyone's talking about since last night, and rightfully so. It's subjective. I understand it. And something they're certainly going to have to take a deeper look at to make sure that this stuff doesn't boil over like this again.
Louis, you were working Tampa hard, weren't you? You go out for a little bit of, like, I can hear Tampa there. So I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I'll put Tampa on the spot. Does Tampa think that, or Louis, do you think that Wilson should have been suspended for what happened against, did he cross the line there, in your opinion, against the Rangers?
You know what? I didn't like the cross-check in the back of the neck. That, for me, I didn't like, and I'll say this, and some people won't like this, as far as Panarin's concerned, you jump on the back of a guy that's a lot bigger and stronger than you, it's like jumping on a bull. You better be ready for what happens. You better be ready for what's going to happen. And I appreciate the fact that he was sticking up for a teammate. I really do. But at the same time, that's just kind of part of a scrum as far as I'm concerned. And for Tom Wilson, he's already irate. He's kind of gotten jumped by a couple guys. He turns around. He ragdolls Panarin. Listen, I don't want to see anybody's head smashed down on the ice, but he was the one that initiated that confrontation. So, unfortunately for Panarin, he's just a lot smaller than Tom Wilson. If that's a big guy, then I don't think there's as much of a problem because I think Tom Wilson's getting worked over. But Buchnevich, for me, he just kind of comes down on the back of his neck. He comes down with a cross check, pushes him into the ice, and then as he's pinning him down, he punches him in the head where your head really doesn't have anywhere to go. That's
yes.
A defenseless player. So, yes, to answer your question, 100% I think he should have at least got a game or two. Something along those lines.
What happened?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. To me, that to me is a defenseless player that really can't protect himself, and there's just no need for that extra. There's no need for that extra. Now, if Buchnevich comes in and spears him and they get into a scrap and then this just continues on in a scrap, then that's another side entirely. That's another side entirely because, sorry, but once you get to that point, you're really not in too much control anyway, and I don't think anybody would have a problem with it. But because he was just in front of the net jamming away, trying to score a goal, and that's how you take him out, I just don't think it was necessary myself. That's
Louis,
my opinion.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
I thought he was going to get – I texted Al May on Monday night, and I told him, I said, your guy might get a 15-game suspension. He's been suspended so many times before. It, to me, I couldn't believe you. I didn't like the – you know what? In the game Monday, I didn't like the Rangers' response. Like, Tom Wilson punked them after, and I did not like the response after. I have no problem with the response yesterday. Lou, I'd like to get your thoughts. Did you like what you saw to the Rangers yesterday?
I did a lot, you know. And listen, I like it when teams respond. I like it when teams stick up for one another, and I like it when they go to battle for one of their teammates, especially one of their stars, one of the stars in the league. And that's what we're really talking about here. Artemi Panarin is not just another player. He's one of the most elite players in the game. So, yes, I liked it a lot. I liked the response. I thought some guys stepped up. I thought Dylan, you know, listen, you're taking on a
tough team.
Smith, you're taking on a really tough guy. So, I mean, to do that, I understand what that takes. I understand that takes a lot of courage. You know that you might lose that fight. You know you might get thrown around. But you know what? You do it because it's the right thing to do. Listen, this is how this whole thing got started. You know, this is how there was a job for me in the National Hockey League. Was stars started getting roughed up. They needed someone to take care of the guys that were roughing up the stars. The next thing you know, everybody had one to take care of business. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Glenn Sather, the New York Rangers, Chris, you know, if they turn around and go out and get a couple of guys to make sure that they have those types of players in their lineup when they play the Washington Capitals from now on.
Well, I'm going to give you a guy right now. Erik Branson's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. The Rangers have a lot of cap space. I could totally see them bringing him him in as a third pairing right shot defenseman. He's tough. He's a huge man. He can take care of Wilson. I've talked about Zach Cassian, and I'm like, you know, I've talked to Brian Burke about Zach Cassian in Pittsburgh. Like, when Burkey went there, you know, you go in there with Ron Hextall, and Hextall had a little bit different philosophy in Philadelphia than maybe some people think, but, and that was going to be interesting. You look at a guy like Zach, I think Zach Cassian's price point goes up around the league, like, and it just reinforces maybe Edmonton's need for him. Think about how Zach became a cult hero in Edmonton. It happened against Arizona, where Oliver Ekman-Larsson cross-checked Matt Hendricks from behind at the end of a game, and Zach Cassian went in and cross-checked Ekman-Larsson to the ice, turned around, dropped his gloves, and waited for somebody to have the nuts to step up and fight him, and nobody really did. And he became a cult hero at that moment in Edmonton. But he's been quiet here, you know, and so a question for you, Lou. It has been quiet. We haven't, like, is part of it that Edmonton does have a little bit of that and can defend themselves? And conversely, like, we have listeners that say the Oilers should try to move Cassian's contract out, and other listeners say, wait a sec here, this just reinforces you're going to need that guy. What do you think? Maybe we lost Louis there. I'm not
sure. Game one versus Montreal last week. That was a playoff game. It was incredible. It was back and forth. It was a physical, hard-nosed game. Zach Cassian came out and blew a couple guys out, up, settled things down. Edmonton wins that game. The next game, he's injured. Kara's injured. You've taken some size and muscle out of your lineup. What happened in that game?
Montreal leaned on Edmonton.
Absolutely. It's necessary. You have to have that in your lineup. And especially when you have premier players and the best player in the game right now in Connor McDavid. I mean, the best player, period, in the last 5 years. So you have to protect that. You have to let the opponent know that if anything happens, we're going to go out there and we can play that style of game. They're not going to play that style of game all the time, but when push comes to shove and it's necessary, they can step up. Darnell Nurse has done a great job this year, too. He's stepped up and taken some big fights. A guy that plays almost 30 minutes a night, seriously in contention for the Norris this year. I mean, but he steps up. He has that dimension in his game. You have to have players like that that are turrets so that you can go out there and play the type of game you want to play. And if it does get nasty and get physical, you can also play that style, which I'm going to tell you, in the playoffs this year, get ready for it, because that's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be a grinding, heavy, hard game, and you're going to have to be able to weather that, push back, and play through.
Louis, we're focused on the intensity of the game because of what happened with Washington and the Rangers, and it takes away with the chase that's going on for Connor McDavid. Five games left, 7 points to get to 100. Does he get it done?
Yeah, I think he gets it done. I do. You know, I just think he's on too much of a tear. You know, you look at seven of the last eight, he's had two or more points, 24 points in that span. He's just been outstanding, but to be honest with you, it's been the pace that he's played at this year. He really hasn't backed off. He's been incredible all year long, and I think already it's been an outstanding season. I think it's been incredible for him. But I think, you know, in a year like this, with the type of season it's been, the pandemic, the moving bubble, no fans in the building, I think fans want this. I think this is something they want to grab onto and they want to see. They want to see him get to that century mark. The opposition doesn't, that's for sure, but I just don't think he's going to be denied, in my opinion. But, yeah, I do. I believe he gets it.
Tampa has been gold. Louis, thank you for your time. Thanks for gutting that one through, and we'll see you tonight at the arena, okay?
All right, take care, Bob.
You bet. That is Sportsnet color analyst Louis DeBrusque. He is our Oilers Now headliner, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. We'll get to a bunch of your texts and the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. It is 12:48 at Edmonton, and you're listening to Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
You know what happened is the show went completely to the dogs over the course of the last 12 minutes. Oh, man. Hey, Lou, Tampa sounds thirsty. That text comes in. Tell that dog to shut up. Well, the dog wasn't that loud. I thought that dog was, Tampa was pretty quiet there. That was a segment that he gutted through. Jason from Sangudo, I can't read your text. It's really funny. Anita goes, Bob, you should have asked Louis. Well, I think we had a window that we had there of Louis. You should ask Louis why Cassian got suspended for Turtlegate. That one comes to us from Anita. And I think that's part of the frustration, the exasperation, in terms of the Department of Player Safety is, that's the biggest issue for people out there. It's the inconsistency. So Cassian, who has been involved in incidents before because he plays on the edge, you have a guy like, Matthew Tkachuk, who runs him twice in one game. Cassian drops the gloves, you know, and goes after him. And most of us think, you know, as red-blooded guys that grew up watching the game and women that think the game should be played a certain way, most of us are like, well, you know what? If you're going to run a guy like that twice, you better be prepared to be accountable to him. And to Tkachuk's credit, after that incident, when they ended up playing back at Edmonton, Tkachuk ended up taking the fight and has actually fought quite a bit. Both Tkachuks, Brady Tkachuk, can really fight. You know, like if you're going to run around, you got to pay the price. And in the Buchnevich situation, I'll just throw this out there. You took a look at how Buchnevich, how Wilson came down on Buchnevich on Monday night. How far removed from that was what happened with Bertuzzi and Steve Moore? I mean, it could have ended worse for Buchnevich there. He could have been seriously hurt on that play. By the way, I'm just going to throw this out there right now for the Texers, Texas on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Do you have any problem with Buchnevich cross-checking Anthony Mantha last night after Mantha was sitting there slashing at him for the better part of an entire shift? Did anybody, you know what? That's the only way he can stick up for himself in that situation, as far as I'm concerned. He's not going to fight it. Anthony Mantha is a tough guy. When the spirit moves Anthony Mantha, he's a hell of a player. His thing is that he's been an inconsistent performer to the point that Jeff Blashill could never get consistent results out of him in Detroit. That's like Washington has a big, heavy, tough team. You have Zdeno Chara skating over to Brendan Smith at the bench, and what do you think that conversation went like? You're going to be the guy that's going to have to answer for all this, right? Settle your team down. And then Mantha gets involved with Buchnevich, who was running around. So for the listeners out there, what did you think? Did you have a problem with how Buchnevich protected himself? Because frankly, I didn't. Because that's the only way you can kind of deal, especially in lieu of what happened in Monday's game. Like seriously, he can't fight. He's not a fighter. He has to use the stick as an equalizer in that situation. And this is going to exasperate everybody in the hockey world. He's going to get suspended. And Wilson, who started everything in all of this, didn't. Again, for me, Wilson should have been suspended multiple games on Monday. That's it. Forget it. You're gone. You're out. Can't do that. Can't come down on one guy's. And Louis gave, I would say, a very pro-Wilson view on the incident with Panarin. Because if he had chucked Panarin down and Panarin had smashed his head into the ice, it would not have been a good look on the NHL. And Wilson basically put two players in peril as a result of his conduct on the ice. So, keep it coming. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Wilson's stick was under the neck. He didn't drive anybody into the ice, Bob. That's the difference. And as for Panarin, Panarin slipped. Trucker Dave says, nope, chop him down. Mantha had his stick up high coming at him, too. So Carson says, Bob, I agree with everything you just said. Pavel Buchnevich is doing what the league wouldn't do, which was defend himself as a skilled player against a hammer. I think, you know what, if there's probably guys driving around town right now, people that have played hockey that have been in that situation and known the only thing that I can use here in this situation. Now, if you're the aggressor and you're going after a bigger guy the whole time and you're using the stick and you're clearly the aggressor nonstop, that's a little different. But in the situation where you have to defend yourself, in terms of a potential engagement? The equalizer has been the stick forever. Rob Brown would assert that. Brian says, I have no problem with Buchnevich. He didn't even have both hands on a stick. He should get nothing if Wilson gets nothing. There you go. You keep texting us at 780-496-0063. Wow. Stan bringing it. Bob, there should be a rule about texting while smoking crack. These people that don't want Cassian's contract have short memories about how our young kids got rubbed out routinely with a Matt Hendricks left to fight or uphold some form of protection. Any remember Schultz, Justin Schultz, skating past the scrum at the end of the game while Hall and others were in there holding the fort? It's all fun and games until McDavid or Draisaitl get roughed up. That one comes to us from Stan. What's interesting about Draisaitl is he has a sneaky, dirty aspect to his game as well. And Connor and Leon are bigger men. They're 6'1 and 6'2 than maybe Nugent Hopkins and Hall were. Or certainly Eberle was. And Leon will use the stick, and he'll occasionally slew foot to protect himself on the ice. He's done it. Chris says, we need Cassian. Even if he's having a bad year, he's still a deterrent. Isn't McDavid's contract worth $15.7 million per year? Well, it's actually, what is it? I forget now. $12.5 million? Just consider Cassian part of McDavid's contract. Oh, okay. He's adding the two contracts together. I'd even say get another big body in the offseason, Curtis Gabriel or Brett Ritchie, as a 12, 13, or 14 forward from Chris. Chris, I kind of agree with you. I think they do need to get a bigger body just as another guy. And here's the situation. If the league calls it, and if the league calls penalties, the Oilers are equipped to intimidate teams back. It's called a power play. They've had the best power play in the league for the last 2 years. Ted says, guys, the New York NHL fiasco, something has to change. Are you listening, Rules Committee? If the NHL is to survive and thrive and move on, there has to be zero tolerance for career-ending roller derby with clubs, Neanderthal-style hockey. That one comes to us from Ted. Again, I just don't trust the league to protect the players. I still think the teams have to, you know, they have to protect their own players. Just, it's... The refs don't want to call stuff, which lends its, they don't want to impact the game, which lends itself to teams pushing the envelope. It affects the teams that have more skill, and it's always been a part of hockey, which is why you had to support skill with toughness, which Glenn Sather always did in Edmonton, may I add. Dating all the way back to when he was a player with the Montreal Canadiens. They did it too. All right, into the Oilers now. Injury reported is brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. For every goal the Oilers score, James H. Brown donates $100 to 630 Chad Santa's Anonymous. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. We're going to hand it over to Brendan Escott for 1 minute. Go for it.
Okay, Devin Shore day-to-day with an undisclosed ailment, as is Gaetan Haas. Joakim Nygaard's dealing with a bit of a hand problem. Chris Russell doesn't sound like he's all that close to returning right now, based on this morning's media avail. Zach Cassian, of course, long-term injured reserve. Slater Cuckoo, about 7 to 10 days away upon last examination, which was this week. And, of course, Oscar Klefbom out through the year. Anton Roussel out a couple of weeks with a lower body ailment. Elias Pettersson rehabbing an upper body problem, has not played since early March. We know Michael Ferland hasn't played at all this year. Concussion problems never let his season get off the ground. Habs prospect Ryan Poehling, done for the year with a wrist injury that requires surgery, and Chicago's Kirby Dach will miss the final three regular season games after re-aggravating his own wrist injury, Bob.
All right. Cactus Jack, Texas show. Darnell Nurse has progressed to the point where they need to add size. Nurse, way too valuable now to police. I agree. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Back with Kevin Weeks for Canadian Power Pack. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.